Congregation, as you know, it almost sounds too simple to be true. The story of Numbers 21, we've referred to it so many times. The story of the brazen serpent. It was so simple. The message that Moses had for those dying Israelites was so very, very simple. Basically, the message was, look. Look at God's appointed remedy. Look. And then the Bible simply tells us that whoever looked was healed. Not only partially, but they were healed immediately. They were healed at once. So you might ask the question, why is it that upon such a simple act, God bestowed such an extraordinary blessing? Because these people were destined to die. The poison was coursing through their veins. It was deadly. People were dying left and right, and they deserved it. They had rebelled against God. They deserved to die. And yet, people who deserved to die, who deserved God's judgment, the moment they looked, they were healed immediately. Why? Because, congregation, that simple look was an act of faith. It wasn't ultimately their looking that saved them, but it's what they looked at. They looked at God's appointed remedy. And we know from the Lord Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in John 3 that serpent lifted up on a pole was a picture of himself. A congregation, the reason why God responded in such an extraordinary way, the reason why he granted instant healing to those dying Israelites, is because by looking at that pole, they therefore gave evidence that they believed him. They gave evidence that they trusted him. A congregation, that's what faith is all about. It's trusting what God says about himself, taking him at his word. A congregation, we cannot honor God more than when we honor his word. And so when those dying Israelites, when they took the word of God seriously, they took God at his word, God responded immediately and granted them healing. A congregation, that's how God always works. That's how he still works until this day. Because ultimately, it is the simple act of faith. It's the simple act of looking to Christ. It's the simple act of trusting in Christ that brings about the salvation of a perishing soul. And we're going to see a wonderful illustration of that in this evening hour as we consider the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And so we read to you from Mark 5, and let me just read verses 27, 28, and 29. It says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And then, of course, he then identifies her. And then the very last verse of verse 34, when he says to her, daughter, this is important, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So we're going to consider Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood. 5 simple points. First of all, we will see that she was a hopeless case. She had had this issue of blood, this constant bleeding had been going on for 12 years. Secondly, she comes to Jesus with a childlike faith. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Thirdly, we will see that there was an immediate cure. Twice we read the word straightway, immediately. Fourthly, there is a searching question. Who touched my clothes? And in Luke it says, Jesus said, who touched me? That's very enlightening. Who touched me? And we will see that he asked that question for a very important reason, that through that question, in a wonderful way, he ministered to that woman who had touched the hem of his garment. So a searching question, and then finally, a comforting affirmation. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So a hopeless case, a childlike faith, an immediate cure, a searching question, a comforting affirmation. The context is Jesus on his way to the house of Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue. Why? Because he had come to Jesus because his child was gravely ill. His child was on the verge of dying. And Jesus responds, and he goes with Jairus, giving Jairus hope that the prophet of Nazareth would also heal his child. But what's so remarkable, congregation, as Jesus is on the way to the home of Jairus, and as the crowds are literally pressing in upon him, Luke uses strong language, and the Greek means they were almost choking him. They were right on top of him. They were pressing him as he was walking to the home of Jairus. Suddenly he stops, and he says, someone has touched me. Why is that so remarkable, congregation? It's remarkable because it's so immensely encouraging. Because this tells us that even though he was on his way to heal and ultimately to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, when an unknown woman, unknown to the crowd, and almost not visible in that crowd, when she comes and touches the hem of his garment, he immediately takes notice of what happened. He immediately stops. He immediately senses that power, that virtue has gone out from him. And he stops and he interrupts his journey to the frustration of his disciples, who are frustrated when their master stops, as if to say, do we not have a more urgent case? As a matter of fact, they say, Master, how canst thou say, who touched me? The people are all around thee. They're touching thee. That's true. They were all touching him. They were all in contact with Jesus. But none of them were touching him the way that woman touched him. And Jesus instantly noticed it. And he instantly felt that power went out from him. Virtue went out from him. Who touched him? She was an unknown lady. No one knew her. Some commentators believe that she came from another town, not in the vicinity. Otherwise, some might have recognized her for who she was. Totally unknown to the crowd, unknown to the people there. But obviously a woman who was not unknown to God. A woman who had lived a very difficult life. A woman who had a serious medical issue. She had been bleeding for 12 years. And we are told that she went to every imaginable doctor for help. We're even told that she spent all that she had. So, boys and girls, she used all of her savings to try to find a doctor who could help her, who could help her and heal her from a condition that ultimately, which she knew, ultimately would result in her death. But not only did she have a serious medical issue, because of that medical issue, she was also unclean. Listen to what we read in Leviticus 15, verse 25. We read this: "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation." She shall be unclean, it says. And so the Levitical law told that when a woman would have her monthly period, for that period she would be unclean. Here it's telling us that if this issue would continue, the woman would continue to be unclean, which meant that according to the law, she had been unclean for 12 years, which meant that therefore she was not able to participate in all of the normal activities of her community. And most importantly, she was deprived from going to the house of God because she was unclean. No wonder this woman did everything she could. She tried to use every means available to her. She spent every nickel she had in order to find a cure. But then we read, she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. One commentator makes an interesting comment that Luke does not say that. In Luke, by the way, if you are going to study this yourself, let me give you again the parallel passages. Matthew 9, verses 18 through 22 is the, and the other parallel passage is Luke 8, verses 41 through 48. And so Luke did say, you know, that Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. He says, neither could she be healed of any. But he does not say what Mark says, but rather grew worse. So one commentator suggests that he was trying to be kind to his colleagues by simply admitting that they had utterly failed in helping this lady. And so her case had truly become a hopeless case. She had a condition for which there was no human cure. And of course, congregation, we recognize that her condition, her physical condition, is ultimately a picture of your and my spiritual condition. Because ultimately, congregation, as sinners, we are all hopeless cases. Has that ever dawned on you? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it ever occurred to you that the nature of your sinnership is such that from a human perspective, it is indeed a hopeless case? By nature, we don't believe that. The human race does not believe that. And so throughout the history of the human race, people have tried to do everything they can to deal with the reality of sin, try to somehow improve the human race. And we know that all efforts have failed utterly. Because the Bible tells us, not that we just have a problem, but that by nature we are desperately wicked. The heart of man is desperately wicked, so desperately wicked that no man can know it. That's why all efforts throughout history to bring about a cure, a so-called cure for man's sinnership, they have all utterly failed. And how painful it is when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and makes us realize that. And so what is often happens when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and we begin to realize who we really are? Oh, what efforts a sinner then can make to somehow seek to make amends with God, only to find out that it all comes short. If you know the history of Martin Luther, you know that Luther did everything he could. He punished himself. He deprived himself of food and drink. He punished himself physically, deprived himself of sleep. Only he was hoping that somehow, that God would be gracious. And instead he realized that his case got worse and worse until Luther too ran out of options. And when he ran out of options, It is then that God opened his eyes for the Lord Jesus Christ, the willing and able Savior of sinners. Here we have a woman too. A woman who literally ran out of options. Nothing had helped her. No physician had been able to help her. But then something remarkable happens. Because we read of this woman when she heard of Jesus. What a very important phrase that is. She heard of Jesus. And actually in the Greek it says she heard of the Jesus. So there is a definite article there. Why? Well, Jesus was a very common name among the Jewish people. Jesus is the Greek version of the name Joshua. So there were many Jewish boys whose name was Yeshua. And that's why the author of the gospel here, Mark, specifically emphasizes this wasn't just any Jesus. No, this was the Jesus. She heard of the Jesus. And what did she hear of him? Well, let's read what it says in Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame went throughout all Syria." Congregation, you need to realize that as soon as Jesus began his ministry, he did miracles every single day. Wherever he went, he did miracles. Wherever he encountered sick people, he healed them. And he healed them from all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Luke 4, verse 40, we read, "All they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them." And now this woman, this hopeless case, she heard about Jesus. She heard about him. She heard about all of these remarkable accounts of sinners being healed by Jesus. She heard from people that no matter who came to him, no matter what disease they had, no matter what illness they had, no one was ever turned away by this Jesus. Whoever came to him was healed by him. And suddenly, hope began to dawn in the heart of this woman. Oh, what she heard was good news. What she heard was music in her ears. Hope began to dawn that here was perhaps one who was able to help her. And how long she waited before she actually went, we do not know. But it's obvious from our text that ultimately the day came that she realized, either I go to him or I perish. If I do not go to him, I will surely die. There is but one hope for me, one possible way in which I might be healed from my disease, and I must go and I must see this Jesus. The congregation, the fact that this woman came to Jesus did not take him by surprise. He knew she was coming. He is the one who saw to it that she heard about him. So that, encouraged by what she heard about him, she would actually come to him. The congregation, that's how the Lord Jesus Christ works until this very day. Because congregation, that has been your and my privilege from the moment we were born. From the moment you were born, from the moment you were old enough to begin to understand the Bible stories that your parents read to you, you began to hear about this Jesus. You've been hearing about this Jesus your whole life. Let me ask you something, boys and girls. What has that done for you? Do you rejoice in what you hear about Jesus? Is what you hear about Jesus the good news of the gospel, of this willing and able Savior who came to save sinners? This Savior who will receive the vilest sinner. This Savior who promises that whoever comes to Him will not perish, have eternal life. Is that music in your ears? Is that good news for you? Does that make your heart rejoice? Because that's the very purpose why the Lord Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to you since you were born. That's why this name has been lifted up from this pulpit over and over again. It is Christ Himself who in the gospel comes to us and who wants us to hear about Him, about His wonderful person, about His wonderful work. Why? To encourage us to come to Him. So I'm asking you, after all those years, have you come? Have you come to this Savior? Have you come to this Savior to be saved from your sins? Or do you not yet realize how hopeless your case is? Do you not yet realize that unless you come to Him, you will surely perish? Do you not realize that you cannot be saved any other way unless you come to Him? This woman, oh, the more she heard of Him, the more her heart was encouraged. And finally, she makes the decision to go to Him. It is as if she is irresistibly drawn to Him, irresistibly attracted to Him, because everything she heard about Him matched her case. Hopeless, a hopeless case, and yet everything she heard about Jesus gave her hope. But what would have held her back, congregation? Well, a number of things would have held her back. She knew that she was unclean, just like the leper knew. He knew that he was unclean. She knew what the consequences would be if it were discovered that she was among the crowd, that she, an unclean woman, had come among the crowd. She must have thought about all of this and wondering what could possibly happen. Would she be sent away? Would she be turned away? Would her journey have been in vain? All of that, no doubt, occurred to her. That's why we actually read here, she said in verse 28, "For she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole." And in the Greek, it means that she kept on saying. So it's like she kept on talking to herself. She kept on talking to herself. She kept on talking to herself. And finally, she made the decision that she was willing to risk everything, because there was one urgent need in her soul. She knew that this Jesus was able to help her. Everything she had heard about Him encouraged her to come. Everything she heard about His person, how willing He was to heal, encouraged her to come. And so finally, in spite of all the obstacles, in spite of all the things that came against it, she could no longer stay back. And she comes and she joins that crowd. We could say that for this woman too, it was literally, "Give me Jesus or else I die." Without Jesus, she would die. Her death was absolutely certain. And therefore, everything in her drove her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything she heard about Him encouraged her to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when she's part of that crowd, she was probably so intimidated by who He was that she did not dare to make herself known. She did not dare to come to Him directly like the leper did. And so she thought, "If I only touch the hem of His garment, I will surely be made whole." Her faith in Christ and what He could do, her faith had grown so strong that she was convinced that this Savior would even be able to heal her if she but touched the hem of his garment. Actually, there was a little bit of superstition here for her to think somehow that by touching his robe that she would be healed. But yet it tells us that her faith in this Christ, her faith in the one of whom she had heard, was so strong that in all simplicity she touches the hem of his garment. And as we will see, Christ immediately recognized it for what it was. It was an act of faith. This woman, in all simplicity, demonstrated that she believed everything she heard about him, that she embraced it. She believed it. She believed that he was who he was. She believed that he was willing and able to help even a woman like her. And that faith caused her to touch him. That's what faith does, congregation. Faith brings us in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment she touches him, the very moment, she is healed. Because we read in verse 29, so we have seen this hopeless case. We have seen her childlike faith that brings her to Christ and that causes her to touch the hem of his garment, followed by an immediate cure. Because we read, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. In other words, the healing of this woman was so dramatic, congregation, that she could instantly feel it throughout her entire body. In other words, what happened there was not imagination. What happened there was an experiential reality. Can you imagine what must have gone through this woman? This woman who had been so ill for so long, a woman that had grown so weak because of her medical condition. What that must have been, the moment she touched that garment, to instantly feel the power of Christ go through her body, to instantly feel that she was made whole of that awful plague to which she had been subjected for such a long time. Because, congregation, Jesus recognized that touch. Jesus recognizes, congregation, he recognizes the weakest act of faith. And the reason this woman was healed instantly, it was not because her faith was perfect, not because her faith was strong, but the reason she was healed immediately, because her faith was directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because of him that she was immediately healed. What a wonderful lesson this is for all of us, congregation. Because he is the same Savior today. He still takes notice of the weakest and feeblest act of faith. And even if our faith is feeble, even if we do it tremblingly, I'm sure this woman was trembling when she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. But that feeble act of faith was noticed instantly by him. And instantly he responded. Instantly virtue went out from him, and instantly she was healed. Because, congregation, there's nothing that delights Jesus more than when a sinner comes to him. There's nothing that delights him more than when a poor and needy sinner takes refuge to him. There's nothing that honors him more when we in all simplicity put our trust in this Christ. And even though our faith may be weak, and even though our faith may be feeble, as was true for this woman, Christ will never, ever, ever overlook the simplest act of faith. And he immediately responds, not by giving her a partial cure, but by giving her a complete cure. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And then it says in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And so, congregation, what we see here illustrated is exactly how I began. There were Israelites who were almost dead. Almost dead. Their eyes were breaking. And yet, they caught a glimpse of the brazen serpent. And the moment they did, they were healed immediately. And so what we see in that story, and we see it here, it is not the quality of your faith. It is not the strength of your faith. But it's the fact that when we believe, when we, in all simplicity, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because in whom we believe. It is the object of our faith, not the act of our faith. Because the act of her faith was weak. But in that simple act, in that trembling act, in that touching the hem of his garment, she put all her trust in the Jesus of whom she heard. And Christ immediately heals her. A congregation, that is the good news of the gospel. That's what the gospel tells us in all simplicity. That in order to be saved, it requires but a simple act of faith. A simple act of faith, even if it is as tremblingly as with this woman, a simple act of faith secures the full and complete salvation of our soul. Acts 10 verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever trusts in him, whosoever looked at the brazen serpent, whosoever came to him, even this woman who but touched the hem of his garment, she was immediately made whole. And congregation, that is the good news of the gospel. Christ is not a partial savior. Christ is not a reluctant savior. Christ is not a savior who gives us but a partial salvation. No, the message of the gospel is so simple. The message of the gospel is so straightforward. A message that I must proclaim to you also tonight. My dear friend, to be saved from your sins, to be reconciled with God, to obtain the full and free pardon of your sins, all of that becomes yours. When you, in all simplicity, take refuge to this Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any doubt, let's continue. Because this immediate cure is then followed by a searching question. Who touched my clothes? He turned him about in the press. And in Luke, as I said, it says that the Lord Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Boys and girls, you might say, "But Pastor, didn't Jesus know who touched him?" Of course he did. He knew exactly who touched him. But for very important reasons, as we will see, he wanted this woman to come out of that crowd. He wanted this woman to identify herself. And so we read in verse 32, "And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." And so why this question? Why did Jesus ask this question? Why did he want this woman to come and identify herself? It's because Jesus wanted to further reveal himself to her. Jesus wanted this woman to understand who it was that had bestowed this remarkable cure upon her. He wanted her to understand that what healed her was ultimately not her touch, but what healed her was her faith, because later on he says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And so the Lord Jesus wanted this woman to understand what had really happened. And so by asking that question, by forcing her to come out of the crowd, by forcing her to identify herself, he did so because he wanted to draw her even closer to himself. He wanted to further reveal himself to her so that she would know who it was that had performed this remarkable miracle upon her. And again, I want to emphasize what I began to say. Oh, how beautifully here we see how Jesus cares for the individual sinner. And so if you ask yourself, how would I know that Christ would take notice of me? How would I know that he would respond to my cries? Then let this story encourage you. Christ cares for every individual sinner that comes to him, that takes refuge to him. He knows you by name. He knows where you dwell. And he wants to teach you by means of this story that he will in no wise cast you out. Oh, what a beautiful illustration this story is. That Jesus is a Savior who cannot deny himself. And so when you come to him, when you take refuge to him, he is as willing and as ready to save you as he was willing and ready to help this woman. That's why all these stories are in the Bible. That's why we have all this, the record of many of the miracles that he did. He did far, far more. Every single miracle was an illustration of who he was. By means of every miracle, Christ was communicating to the people of Israel who he was. Every miracle he did was designed to encourage people to come to him. That's why the gospel is preached to you tonight. That's why again tonight you are hearing of this willing and able Savior. That's why I have the sacred calling to persuade you that this Savior is so willing to save to the uttermost, that this Savior will never turn away a sinner that takes refuge to him. And she comes and she falls down before him. She worshiped him. She believed in him. She believed him to be the Messiah. And she told him all the truth. In Luke 8, verse 47, we read this. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So what this meant, of course, is that she had to confess before Jesus and the entire multitude that she had come to him as an unclean woman, that she had come to him with her issue of blood. She had to reveal everything. She told him all the truth, but she also told him what she had experienced. She also told him that the moment she touched him, she immediately experienced his healing power. She was healed immediately. And then we see how Jesus, after asking that searching question, then gives her this wonderful and comforting affirmation. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oh, how beautiful those words must have sounded in the ears of this woman. Because now Jesus affirms what already has happened in her. Jesus, as it were, reassures her that what happened in her, and she could feel it. She could feel the instant effect of his healing power. And he is reassuring her that he is the one who did it. He is the one. And he said, "My daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's a remarkable statement. It's repeated by all three of the gospel writers, the exact same words. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So does that mean that by her faith she merited her healing? No. But it does tell us that it was that personal act of faith which was the divinely ordained means by which she obtained her healing. Jesus does not say, my faith has made you whole. He says, no, thy faith hath made thee whole. And again, the language that's used here is beautiful. It means it has made you completely whole. It has made you forever whole. And therefore, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so Jesus was telling this woman, that which I have done to you is irreversible. You will, from now on, you will be whole. The congregation, that is the promise of the gospel. That when we as a poor and needy sinner, when we as hopeless cases, when we take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to Him, when by faith we reach out to Him, He declares in His Word that upon that simple act, He makes us whole. He makes us completely whole. He makes us forever whole. Now, it may very well be that the very first time, as it were, we reach out to Him, that we hardly dare to believe that such a blessing would also be ours. And what this story tells us, that Jesus not only is willing to save you to the uttermost, and that He will save you if you come to Him, but also He wants you to be assured of that salvation. He wants you to understand what the benefits are that flow out of that simple act of faith. That's what He's saying to her. That simple act of faith, the fact that you came to me, the very fact that you touched me, the very fact that you gave evidence that you believed in me, all of that results in you being made whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Congregation, this notion that somehow believers must live their entire life in doubt, wondering whether that salvation is also for them, is simply contrary to the Word of God, and it is contrary to the very character of God. Notice how Christ does not waste any time, and He immediately goes out of His way to reassure this woman of what He has done for her and what the outcome is of her simple act of faith. He teaches her that her faith has made her whole. Her faith has made her whole, and therefore she may go in peace. And congregation, you need to understand that faith alone will make you whole. That unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you take refuge to Him, in all simplicity, you will perish. Because as precious as the gospel is, as good as the news of the gospel is, the opposite is also true. Had this woman not come to Jesus, had this woman not believed in Him, had this woman not touched the hem of His garment, she would have died. Not because there was no remedy, not because there was no Savior willing to help her, but she would have perished because she would not have responded to what she heard about the Lord Jesus. And you have been so privileged. You have heard about Him your whole life. I have not told you anything new tonight. Everything I've told you tonight about this Savior and about His willingness to save is something you've heard over and over again. So I ask you tonight, have you come to Him? And if you haven't, may I ask you what? Why? What's holding you back? Why are you not coming to Him? Why are you not fleeing to Him today? Why are you not taking refuge to Him? What is there that holds you back? What is there that discourages you? There's nothing in the Bible that discourages you. On the contrary, everything in God's Word is meant to encourage you to come to this Savior. That's why the gospel is preached. That's why it is preached today. It's the gospel of a Father who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Why did He give His only begotten Son? Why did He give Him to be a sacrifice for sin? Why did He cause Him to suffer and die on Calvary's cross and shed His blood? Why? So that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. The congregation, I'm well aware that faith is a gift of God, but that does not take away from the fact that the simple message of the gospel is not for you to sit back and to wait for something to happen. No, the urgent message of the gospel is that we must come today. Now, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And my dear friend, if you've never come to this Christ, oh, I urge you to come to Him today. I urge you to cast yourself at the feet of this Savior. This lady too, there was so much she did not yet understand. There was so much she did not yet know. But one thing she knew, there was but one who could help her. And my friend, there is but one who can save you. And therefore, seek Him. Seek Him today. Because He is as willing to receive you as He was willing also to receive this poor and needy woman. And dear believer, when is the last time you came to Him? Because this is not only something we do once. Ultimately, the entire life of the believer is a life of coming to Jesus over and over and over again. Oh, we need to come to Him time and again. Also, when we struggle, when we fail, when we stumble, we must come to Him again. And He will never, never put to shame those that come to Him and that put their trust in Him. Oh, this story is such an encouragement. It is really true throughout the ages. There have been countless men and women who have found it to be so. That simple act of coming to Christ, casting ourselves at His feet, putting our trust in Him and say, oh Lord Jesus, I come to Thee as a wretched sinner. I come to Thee because I cannot be saved in any other way. I come to Thee because Thy name is the only name given under heaven whereby we must and can be saved. And therefore, I hope that by the grace of God, you too, as a hopeless case, with childlike faith, will take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will grant an immediate cure to all those that put their trust in Him, a Savior who says today, through His Word, if you put your trust in Me, sinner, you shall be made whole, and you shall go in peace, and you will be whole of your plague. And so I'm sending you home with homework. Do you believe what you have heard about this Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.